I've been looking at the seven sermons of our suffering Savior. I want to try and conclude that thought this morning. I'm glad nothing that Jesus said was wasted. He did not waste words. He did not waste a second. He didn't have much time. You think about maybe 3.5 years of ministry. That's not much. But everything he did from the time he was born to the time he died was useful, was valuable in every word that he said. But he knew he was about to die. And he's speaking words that mean a lot. I've said this already 6 times at least. But what would God say if he knew he was about to die? The last words that we speak, hopefully, are the most meaningful or the most serious or whatever message we want to be remembered for or whatever message we want to communicate to those that we love. And Jesus surely knew he was about to die. And in these verses, we want to look at the last words that he uttered before his death. Now, this is certainly not the last words that he uttered on earth, because unless you haven't heard, he came back and he spoke again. But beginning in verse 44, and it was about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed with him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. I hope you caught it. Jesus said his last words before he died, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Could I just take just a second to remind you where we've been? I've looked at the first utterance on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've said that's a prayer that involves a Savior's deliverance. He's praying for someone that was lost but about to be saved. He is getting saved. It's a prayer involving a Savior's deliverance. Then he also said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's a promise that involves a sinner's delight. Then he also said to his mother, Woman, behold thy son, and to John, behold thy mother. That's a passion that involves a son's devotion. Then he said the next thing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a plan that involves a sad denial. And then he also said, I thirst. That's a plea that involves a selfless desire. And then also he said, it is finished, and that's a power that involves a satanic defeat. In these words that we've read this morning, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That involves a peace. A peace. Listen, it talks about a peace that involves a sacrificial death. One thing I think about when I hear these words that he uttered, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, is the fact that in all the chaos of the cross and all the turmoil of the cross and all the agony of crucifixion, he is facing death in peace. He is saying to his Father, Here I come. Receive my spirit. Take me into your arms. The word commend literally means to present. It means to lay alongside. It means to give. He literally let his spirit go. Here's an explanation of what he did. He exhaled his spirit. He released his life. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The greatest miracle Jesus ever did was die. All the wonderful miracles he accomplished in this world while he walked this earth were wonderful, miraculous, impossible for us. The greatest miracle that he ever did was the fact that he died. For God to die, for the body he lived in to die. God is a God of life. But he did die. Now his birth was unique and his life was unique, but his death was unique. He said, No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. and I have the power to take it again. He could do what we cannot do. He did what we cannot do. He laid his life down. He released his spirit exactly when he wanted to. I could say it like this: even though the decision was made before the foundation of the earth, there came a time when he decided to die. Now, I'll not do that, neither will you. Our lives may become so miserable we want to die. We may hunger, we may thirst, we may desire to die. We may even attempt to take our own lives. But if God does not decree it, we won't die. He's the one in charge of that point of death. He will determine if we're alive or dead when we die or not. But Jesus was God, and he released his spirit. He faced that enemy called death and was victorious. His death was not a failure. His death was a huge success. Death did not beat him down till finally he was overcome. Oh no, he marched into death and he overcame death. He released his spirit. He let it go. And he did it in peace. Here's what's on my heart this morning. If he could die in peace, maybe I can, since I'm one of his. If he, our Lord, could die in absolute peace, in absolute victory, saying, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and he released himself. If he can have that kind of peace about death, perhaps we can. Here's what God says about death for his children: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He says it's precious to me. I love it when you come home. I'm glad when you get here. I've been looking for you and expecting you and wanting you a good while. And Jesus released his spirit and went home. We can embrace death like Jesus did. We can embrace death courageously. We who know the Lord can face death victoriously. Could I say this morning, you can face your grave without remorse. The Lord doesn't come back, and for some of us, if he didn't come in a hurry, we're going. We're going to be in a grave, our body will. There's going to be a coffin ordered. There's going to be a funeral planned. And I want to say, we who know the Lord can face our grave without remorse. We can face death head on. We can face death without fear. Now, I'll tell you something. Humanly speaking, it's a little bit scary, because I've never done it before. And I don't know if you've noticed, but those who go don't come back and tell us what happened. Lazarus seemingly didn't even get to say a word about his experience. Those that were raised from the dead, Paul said, God said, "Shh, don't tell anybody." And John looked on ahead a little bit and saw what was over there, but he didn't tell us much about the death experience. So in other words, we're sort of in the dark about exactly what happens. I can see some things about death that encourages me, though. I know I won't be alone when I go. I know it's just a step from here to there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so I know it won't take long, it won't take much to happen. I'll be here, then I'll be there. I want to say this morning, you can face your grave without remorse. It may seem scary right now, but you don't have to worry, not if you're saved. Not only can we face our grave without remorse, but we can face our God without regrets. Jesus was facing death, but he was about to go to the Father. He said with peace, with assurance, without any fear, "Father, here I come. Accept me back home. restore unto me the glory that I had with you before I came down to this old sin pit called earth. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm coming home. Father, into thy hands the fellowship was restored. You see, for a while on the cross, the Father had to turn his back because Jesus had the penalty and the punishment of our sin on him. But Jesus, remember, has just cried, "It is finished." He had paid the price. So now the fellowship has been restored. The Godhead has been reunited. And Jesus leaves this earth in peace, assurance, and victory. And we can do the same. You not only can face your grave without remorse, but you can face your God without regrets. We one day will face God. And what we're doing now will be viewed then. And how we're living now and our motives and our desires and our thoughts that we relish and we hold on to, all that will be viewed by Him. But if we die like Jesus died, we can face our God without any regrets. You want to know why Jesus died right? Because He lived right. He died right because He lived right. He could say, "Father, here I come, and I'm going to be glad to get there," because He knew He had done the Father's will. And I want to say something. If we'll do the Father's will when we stand before God, we will be glad. We can face our God without regrets. We don't have to stand before Him and say, "I'm sorry. I wish I had not done that. I wish I had not gone there. I wish I had not said that. I wish I had done differently." We can face our God without regret. We can face death with peace. I'll say it again, I'll go on. How we die depends on how we live. And if we walk with the Lord today, we can die in grace. We can face our grave without remorse. We can face our God without regrets. Let me say this and I'll get to the message. We can face our grief without reservation. I mean by that, I got to thinking, I'm talking a whole lot about dying. And I ought to, because Jesus died. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the end of His life and the end of our lives. But I ain't there yet. Now, I may be close, but I know I'm not there yet because I'm still talking. Now, if I stop talking, you call 911. I don't know when my life will end. I don't know when my death is scheduled. But until then, I got a whole lot of trouble. And so do you. I am in a world full of hardship. I am in a world full of trouble. I am facing grief every day, just like you. But in spite of my grief, I have a God. In spite of my trouble, I have someone who has triumphed over my trouble. Jesus, hey, here's my point. Jesus died victoriously because He lived victoriously. And we are not this morning only looking to the future to when we finally die. But we're looking at today. I'm glad I've got victory for tomorrow or the next day or today, whenever I die. But I need victory until then. I need help to deal with my grief today. I need help for my trouble now, not just for my grave, but for my help today. And I want to say this morning, you have a helper if you know the Lord. You don't have to be grieved. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be threatened. I want to tell you something. You've got a God who's able to help you. I'm glad He's going to help us when we get to the grave, when we get to the end. When I breathe my last, He'll be there. But He's going to be with me until then, too. We can face our grief today without reservation. He'll help us with the grave's gloom. And He'll help us with a day's grief, too. Let me say this, I'll move on. If you die like He died, you can live like He lived. But I get to reverse that, too. If you live like He lived, you can die like He died. He had victory with both. Sometime, I don't know when, it's going to be my turn. It's going to be your turn too. But I want to say he embraced death. He embraced death. And so can we. You can embrace death because of a freedom that is welcomed. We sang this morning about being free. And I'm glad I am. I can say this morning I'm free. I've been set free. I've been delivered. I've been redeemed. I am no longer in bondage to self, sin, or the Satan. I am glad that I have been made free. But I want to tell you one thing. When I leave this world, I will really be free. Amen. It'll be our day of deliverance for us who are saved. I'm glad he helps us now, but one of these days he's not going to only help us in the trouble. He's going to get us out of the trouble. Death is not something to be feared. It is something we can embrace. I'm not preaching us towards suicide, but I'm just saying this morning, you don't have to be near as afraid of death as you are. We don't need to be near as afraid of death as we are. Like Jesus, he said, Father, here I come. No fear, no trouble. Victoriously embraced it. I believe he's glad it was finally over. And that's what I'm saying this morning. One of these days it's going to be over. Our troubles and trials. You can embrace death because of a freedom that is welcome. We're going to be free of the bonds of sin. I have been set free of the penalty of sin. I ain't going to go to hell any longer. If I die now, I'm going to heaven. Because I've been set free from those bonds. I've been set free from that penalty. I don't have to pay the price because Jesus did, and I accepted his finished work of Calvary. I'm talking about my death does not have to be feared. It can be welcome. It can be embraced because of a freedom that is welcome. I will be free from the bonds of sin. I have been set free of the penalty of sin. I am hopefully being set free of the power of sin day by day. But one of these days, I'm going to be set free of the presence of sin. I'm going to a place where sin is just a faint memory. I'm going to be set free from all this sinful, rotten, sorry world. I'm going to be set free from the bonds of sin. I've been longing a long time, 41, 42 years now I've been saved, looking for him, waiting for him to come send for me. One of these days is going to happen. When it does, I just want to say I'm going to be happy about it. I hope you cry a little bit. Squeeze a tear out, even if you have to fake it when you walk by my old fat dead body. But I want to tell you, I'm going to be in a place where I'm going to be free, 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 free from the bond of sin. Free from the bond of sin, friend, free from the bond of Satan. Well, I'm going to wave my last time to the devil and say, you ain't going to get me any longer. You've tempted me the last time. You've worried me the last time. You've burdened me the last time. You've gotten victory over me for the last time. That's why I can look to death just like Jesus did. Father, I'm glad it's time. Oh, receive my spirit. Here I come. We can do the same thing with our death because it's a welcome relief. It sets us free of the bondage of sin and sets us free of the bondage of Satan. There ain't going to be no devil in heaven. He may make you feel miserable right now. I want to say this carefully. I say it somewhat with hesitation. But I say it, devil, you better get me while you can, because one of these days it's going to be too late. One of these days I'm leaving this place, and you have lost your last chance to get me, to tempt me, to trouble me, to burden me. We're going to be free. There's a freedom that is welcomed. You can embrace death because of a freedom that is welcome. You can embrace death because of a fellowship that is wonderful. I always do it when someone close to us passes away. I look in the spot where they sit. And it reminds me of them and reminds me of other spots where people used to see it. Mr. and Miss Leonard over there. Beulah. John Hewlett Owens, Odell, so many, my mama, all through this church. I won't take time to point them all out. And you know what? I miss them. But there's a reunion day. And the only way I'm going to get there is to die. The Lord doesn't come back. So I want to say I can embrace death because of that reunion. Because one of these days I'm going to see those that I miss so much now. There's a fellowship that is wonderful. We're going to have real fellowship then. I'm thankful for the fellowship this church has. I rejoice in you smiling with each other and shaking each other's hand. And I hear about you calling each other and communicating with each other and showing your love toward each other. I rejoice as the pastor of this church about that kind of love and fellowship. But over there, we're going to know true fellowship. We're going to know what it is to really fellowship. We're going to know what it is really to love. It's an unhindered fellowship. Right now, we just will be honest. We got our old issues and our old natures and our old differences, and we're all different, and just there'll never be any of that over there. No hardships, no hard words, no hard thoughts. All that'll be gone. We will truly fellowship without any kind of hindrance over there. But it's going to take death to get there. That's why I can embrace it. Now, I'll be honest, this whole message, I hope, is a waste of time. I hope the Lord comes back before we can any go. But I don't know when He's coming. So until He comes, we got to expect to go to Him. Until the rapture happens, we got to expect death to come. And I want to say we can embrace death because of fellowship that is wonderful. It's an unhindered fellowship and an uninterrupted fellowship. Here, phone rings. Something happens to hinder your time together, your conversations, your closeness, your communication. That won't happen there. I'm so glad there's no call waiting in heaven. I'm glad that it's when we get there, there'll be no interruptions. There'll be no interruptions to our fellowship. There'll be no extra phone calls or any extra needs. It's an unending fellowship. It's a time that never ends. Now we got to go home. Now we got to say goodbye. Now we go to part to our own places, but not then. It's a fellowship that's unending. You can embrace death because of a freedom that is welcome. You can embrace death because of a fellowship that is wonderful. You can embrace death because of a foe that is whipped. And I didn't know any other way to say it than that. I'm glad when Jesus died on the cross, He whooped the devil. He didn't just whip him, He whooped him. I should have put whooped on the outline. He got a good old-fashioned whooping. If you want to know the difference, well, I can't explain it other than you just barely live through one. You just survive. You crawl out of one. The whooping you just get away from without bleeding to death. But you remember you got whooped. Well, the Lord gave the devil a good old whooping. And I'm glad I can embrace death because He is whooped. He'll have no more power over me. He'll have no more influence over me. I want to tell you something. The devil will be grabbing at our coattail when we go through the gate. He'll be trying till we leave. But I'm glad once we're gone, he's done lost. That's why I want to say I can embrace death and look forward to it. I'll be better off dead. Because the devil will be whooped and the devil will be a loser. He won't be able to accuse us any longer. He does now. Anything we do, anything we say, anything that's not just right, boy, he runs straight to God and tells on us like God doesn't know. But he won't be able to accuse us anymore. He won't be able to attack us anymore. Like a roaring lion, he attacks us now, but he won't after we leave this world. He won't be able to agitate us any longer. You ever get agitated by him? You ever get so tired of him worrying you to death? You ever get tired of that voice? Just like with Peter, Jesus warned Peter, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to agitate us, wants to worry us, wants to trouble us. Well, I want to tell you something. If it takes death to get away from that, come on, death. I'll be glad when it comes. I ain't looking forward to it. No, you ain't going to hear that in this message, I hope. But I don't fear it, and I'm not troubled about it. I'm so glad that one of these days I'm going to hear the devil crying like a little woman, begging for mercy from God. I'm glad I'm going to see him bow before our God and admit you are the God of the universe and you whoop me. And if I'm going to see that, I got to die first, unless the Lord comes back. I say we can embrace death. We can embrace death because of a freedom that is welcome and a fellowship that is wonderful and a foe that is whipped and a friend that is waiting. When I get to that point where I cross over, I won't be by myself. Now, I don't know if my family will be with me. I don't know if it'll be where we know I'm about to cross and they're surrounding my bed and talking about how good I look in my old age and all that. I'm pretty sure that ain't going to happen. If they don't say it now, they won't say it then. I don't know. I may get run over by a dumb truck and nobody even knew I was dead until they called my house or my family. I don't know when I'll die or how I'll die. I may be out riding the road late at night and there's nobody around. Everybody in the world seems like it's asleep to me, but I won't be by myself. I have somebody waiting on the other side and he's reaching across saying, it's just one step. Just come on, I'm waiting for you. There's a friend that is waiting. That's why I can embrace death. Because the Lord himself is waiting for me. And he says, I'm wanting you to come. I've been missing you and I'm glad it's time. I've tried to imagine what it'll be like. And I don't know. But I do know this. It's got to be good. Stephen says, oh, I see him standing. He's waiting for my arrival. David said it like this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm so glad he's with us. We can embrace death because of the finish that is worthwhile. The freedom that is welcomed and the fellowship that is wonderful and the foe that is whipped and a friend that is waiting. But listen, because of a finish that is worthwhile. Now, there's some things I've done. When I got done, I thought, I don't know if it's worth it or not. I've built certain things. I've had certain projects. And the trouble that I went through to finally get to the accomplished goal or the finished task, I'd look at it and say, I ain't sure that's worth it. Cost too much, took too long, too much effort. But I know one thing. When I get to the grave and walk through death and get home to be with the Lord, that's one finish that'll be worthwhile. I will never say, oh, I wish I'd not gotten saved. Boy, what a waste of time. I will never say, I wish I hadn't served the Lord when I did. I could have been out riding in a boat or riding motorcycles or having a good time enjoying myself. It was such a waste of time to serve God. I'll never say that. The grave means there's a finish that's worthwhile. And what we do now, it will be worth it then. I am so glad it will be worth all the troubles. I know you go through troubles now. I know that. And in my mind, I wish you didn't. But God knows what he's doing. And Paul said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, all the trouble we're going through now is nothing compared to the glory. And it's going to take death to get there. It's going to take the grave for that to happen. We can embrace death because of the finish that is worthwhile. It'll be worth all the troubles. It'll be worth all the tears. When your heart is broken and you face it faithfully. When people wrong you but you don't strike back. When something hurts so bad it rips your heart out. But you still walk on with God. All those tears will be worth it then. When you stand before him and he says, I saw you and here's a reward for what you did. Here's a reward for facing your tears faithfully. Here's a reward for continuing on in my work and my service and not walking away. It'll be worth all the troubles. It'll be worth all the tears. It'll be worth all the toils. Those things we do for Him, sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get exhausted. Sometimes we get tired along the way. But when we stand before Him, we'll be glad we served Him then. Those toils will be worthwhile then. He said, if you just give a glass of water to somebody in my name, I won't forget it. You'll be rewarded then. Every time you sacrifice, every deed you did, every time you said no to sin, every time you said yes to Him, you'll be rewarded then. Death is just a gate. We just walk through it. Not to be feared, not to be troubled. Here's my point, and I'm done. No one has yet beat death, and you won't be the first unless the Lord comes back at the rapture. One day it will be your turn. One day it'll be my turn. I don't know who's next, but somebody is next. The final enemy is death. People run from it. People try to avoid it. People do anything they can. This body, this man, this human part of us fights to live. I haven't seen people in agony. I mean, terrible pain, but they breathe again. Hold on to life. The crucifixion is a perfect example of that. Men who were in agony pushed up again to get another breath. Trying to live, that's in the human nature, trying to live. But one time, one day, somehow, some way, somewhere, every one of us will be overcome by death. And if we are to face that time in victory and assurance and peace, we must live our lives now. The only way we can die right is to live right. Jesus grabbed death and defeated it. And it's been defeated for His people. It will accept it by faith. Now let me say this. Since every one of us is going to die, and we don't know when, and we can't come back and get a second chance, what we need to do, we better do quickly. Because I don't know when I'm going to die, and neither do you. I want to ask you, are you listening to me? Listen to me. It's not time to think about going. Now is the most important part of the service. I want to ask you, if you were to die right now, right there in that pew, right that quick, it could happen. God doesn't have to give life. He can easily just take it. He's the one in charge of your life. He gives you your breath. Doesn't have to be cancer or car wreck. All you got to do is just take your breath, take your life. If He were to do that right now, where would you go? I'm talking about if that's true, and it's true, it could happen anytime to any of us, which means to you. We need to make sure we know where we're going. We need to make sure we know where we're going. We need to be able to die in peace with assurance of knowing that I can say, Father, in Thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm coming home. Here, come on, take me. Can you say that? If not, today's the day you need to be saved. I'm asking you, this altar's here not just to give me a place to get up onto the platform. It's a place for people to kneel, to come and find the Lord, to help, and let Him help you, for you to be forgiven. Now I want to say to us who are saved, we don't have to live our life in fear. If we live our lives for the Lord and for His glory, when the end comes, He'll be with us. But are we doing that? Are we living our lives daily in light of facing Him? If not, will you come this morning and ask Him to help you? Whatever's on your heart, you mind the Lord. Let's all stand together.